This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Carol Ann Garrett. We spoke with Carol Ann a couple of weeks ago as they were about to, she and Carol Foy were about to embark on a monumental expedition. You're back. What have you accomplished?
We have succeeded in flying around the world in 8 days. 12 hours and a few minutes, haven't calculated the exact number yet, and in doing so, broken the westbound around the world speed record for our weight of aircraft.
Okay, and you were flying a Mooney, right?
Yes, correct.
Have you calculated the average speed yet?
Just quickly on the way in yesterday, without all the rest of the details of minutes and miles, should be somewhere around 112 miles an hour.
And that just shatters the old record, right?
Yes, it does. It was 54.6.
Okay, well, obviously we don't have time to go into every detail of the flight, but give me a few highlights.
A few highlights. Well, did stop in more hotels than we thought because we had a limitation with the overweight condition to only take off day VFR. And so when we arrived at midnight or 2 in the morning or 4 in the morning, we had to rest up a little bit and then gas up and then take off when it became daylight. So we had a little bit more rest early on. We were a day slower than initially scheduled because fatigue was our number one concern, and we realized after 4 days that we were absolutely exhausted. And so in Djibouti in Africa, we took a night off instead of continuing and had a whole night in a hotel and then left the following morning. It still allowed time for all the permits in the different countries across Africa, but did give us a really good restful night so that we could continue well-rested, and the next three legs were without any hotel stops, just gassing up each time and continuing. And we were able to successfully sleep every 2 hours, so we traded shifts every 2 hours and keep going and keep ourselves rested enough to be able to fly the plane for the rest of the trip.
Any technical issues?
No technical issues over... let's see, the leg towards Guam, we had trouble recharging the laptop, so we couldn't send out updates. And then the leg over Africa, the HF communication was not good, so we couldn't send out updates. We could still communicate with our ground crews with the satellite phone and satellite email, but on two long legs, we were unable to use the HF communication email that we were counting on. Plane worked flawlessly, the engine flawlessly. We did a technical stop in Thailand, changed the oil, rotated the spark plugs and cleaned them, cleaned the air filter, and checked the mag timing, and everything was fine, and kept on going from there. Everything worked flawlessly.
Okay, well, how did the pilots do?
I think the pilots did pretty well. We swapped seats every leg, so we alternated pilot and command, but obviously when there was a sleeping pilot and the flying pilot, so we alternated when we were in the cockpit as well. Did very well. Communication between the two of us and the ground crews. We had one difficult session across Africa because of a gas situation. We were a gas and wind situation. We were unable to make our intended airport in Bamako, Mali. So we started heading for our alternate in Niamey, Niger, and then the ground crew found that there was no avgas in Niamey, Niger. So we were. The ground crew was trying to work things out, new permits, find out whether I was avgas, if we had the endurance to make it to the place that was avgas. We were decision-making together in the cockpit and came up with a successful solution, gassed up in Burkina Faso, and continued on to Cape Verde. So the communication between the ground crew and the pilots was very successful the whole way.
Well, okay, you're flying and sleeping, but that doesn't occupy all your time. What do you do on those long, long stretches?
You know, people ask that. And we were exceedingly, exceedingly busy. Carol downloaded into her iPod some music and some new movies. She got 20 minutes to watch them out of 8 days and 12 hours. And I knew we would be busy, so I had nothing to use for entertainment because we were either working on the HF email, sending updates, doing our logging or flying or monitoring what was going on. There is just no spare time on a trip like this.
Okay, so you land in Orlando. What's the first thing you do?
When we taxi, well, we had to go to customs first. After the customs officer let us go, we taxied to Galaxy FBO, opened the door, waved to the fans and the TV crew, and started hugging all our friends and thanking them for their support. And then we had a little champagne.
Okay, so what's next for you two?
Well, I have to finish the book. Obviously, the objective is to raise awareness and funds for ALS. We got a lot of support, a lot of TV crews in different countries explaining the cause and what we're working towards. One of the major fundraising elements is having a book about this. I pay for the printing. 100% of all the book money, money paid for the book, is goes straight to ALS. And so we can raise another $100,000 or so through presentations and book sales. So I have a tour around the U.S. in Limoney next year where I'll be giving presentations to EAA chapters, flying clubs, 99th group, civics group, and telling them about our trip and about the cause of raising more money.
Any other record ideas?
No, I'm not a record seeker, really. It was the event that could help me raise awareness and donations for ALS. So I am not interested in other records. Carol is interested in racing. She has a racing background. She does the Air Race Classic every year. And so she will probably pursue more long-distance flying and records, yes.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, thank you very much, Russ.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb.